morning, ladies and gentlemen. I wish to officially declare this meeting open. We are meeting today to get presentations from provincial departments on public works on the devolution of rates and taxes, devolution of property rates fund grants. We have invited six provinces, those which appeared to have underspent on the grant. So during the third quarter, I'm quite aware that in the previous presentation with other departments, provinces came. You are welcome, Honorable Liz and Honorable Member. You can come and speak. Thank you. Thank you so much. The report that we received would indicate until the end of the financial year. I think we don't have a problem with that. Amongst us, we have also invited Treasury to give us a picture, overall picture of all the provinces, insofar as the expenditure in that particular grant is concerned. And they will be the ones who will kickstart with the presentation, and then thereafter we will then take questions for clarity, and immediately thereafter allow at least, there will also be some slight changes on the program. I think immediately after Treasury, we'll take three provinces to make presentation thereafter, take questions and clarities from honorable members on the presentation made by those provinces concerned, and thereafter take another round of the last three provinces. We should also be cognizant of the fact that at the latest, we should be finishing this meeting by 1:30. So, quickly on, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take introductions. My name is Edwin Chani. I'm the chairperson of the Appropriation Committee. And I do with me have members of this committee. I'll start from my right, my left.
Good morning. My name is Charles De Beer, and I'm a member of this committee.
I'm Emmanuel Makuvela. I'm a member of this committee.
Sam Mazosiwe, member of the committee.
Oh, please, member of the committee.
Robin Carlisle, MEC, Western Cape, Public Works.
Adagi, MEC, Public Works, Limpopo.
Hi, John Gardner, official in the Public Department of Public Works.
I'm Cedric Eastway, I'm the Chief Financial Officer, the
Department of Transport and Public Works.
Introduce themselves. The MEC is...
Thank you, Chair. My name is Penny Machatina. I'm MEC for Roads and Public Works in the beautiful province of the Eastern Cape.
Chair, thanks very much. I am David Ray. I am the MEC for Public Works in the Northern Cape. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Edgar Fishy from the National Treasury.
John Galela, Head of Ministry, Northern Cape.
Good
Ms. Palm, Acting Head of Department of Roads and Public Works, Northern Cape.
Bradley Turner, CFO, Roads and Public Works, Northern Cape.
Jeremy Redfern, CFO, KZN Public Works.
Eugene Yuster, CFO, Roads and Public Works, Eastern Cape Province.
Thank you very much. I think those who will then take other introduction as we go along. I only have, with regard to apologies that I have here, we have received an apology from the Gauteng MEC who could not be with us due to the fact that there is a provincial conference of the ANC in Gauteng, and as a politician should be attending that particular conference. We have, however, by agreement, agreed that she can send officials on her behalf. And from member side, I've got only one apology from Honorable Bloom, who could not attend today's meeting due to party political work. Is attending today. So, without any waste of time, I will then hand over to Mr. Sishi of National Treasury to give us a picture of how provinces are performing and what are challenges and also, and so on and so on. Okay.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Honourable MECs and colleagues from the provinces. I believe that the handouts of this presentation have been given out for you to follow along with me. One of the complications as I start of doing a financial analysis of public works is that in most provinces, public works is not a department. It is a program within a department. Normally called something like Public Works, Roads and Transport. And while one can isolate that program, in a number of cases that cannot be done fully because, for example, the administration for that program sits in the main vote. So it can be a bit complicated from that perspective, although there are a couple of provinces where Public Works sits on its own. And more recently, Gauteng has established a Public Works Department. But looking at the financial information as at the end of December, I won't dwell too much on this as a result of the complication that I've already outlined. But broadly, as we can see, as at the end of December, provinces, public works, roads and transport departments, out of an adjusted budget of 37.6 billion rands, were projecting to spend 38.1 billion. Payments were at just under 26 billion rand, or 67% of the budget, the adjusted budget. Several provinces, four of them, were projecting to overspend. Eastern Cape just basically breaking even at 2,000 rand, and then three projecting to underspend. Overall, if you look at the last column there, the year-on-year growth. On average, provinces were spending 4.2% higher than at the same time in the previous financial period, although certain provinces, particularly the Free State, Gauteng, as well as the Northern Cape, had slowed down their spending compared to the same period in the previous year. If we update that to the March figures, because the commentaries in the second slide or the third slide that basically deal with what I've already talked about. If we look at the March figures, what we can see there that on average provinces had spent 97.6% of their adjusted budgets. Most provinces have, in terms of the numbers that have now come out for the whole financial year, have underspent.
majority of that being in Limpopo and Western Cape. There are several reasons within that. Western Cape's under expenditure is entirely within their transport part of the department as a result of funds allocated for disasters because of the floods that happened in 2008 and additional money that was given in the adjusted estimates of 2009 to deal with disasters, and that money will have to be rolled over because the province is addressing reconstruction of critical infrastructure damaged by a natural event. In the case of Limpopo, the reasons are slightly different there, and there they will include some aspects of the devolution of property rights grant itself, where there has been some under expenditure, but also overall in the transport vote, there's been quite a bit. Transport program has been quite a bit of under expenditure in that department. Then looking at what's happened compared to last year or the end of 2008-09, provinces on average spent this recent financial period 12% more than they did in the previous financial period, particularly Mpumalanga province, where the spending was accelerated quite significantly despite the problems that Mpumalanga has had with constructing clinics and hospitals. Moving on from there, I think as well the other part of it that's quite interesting perhaps for the committee to note is the slide that talks about the percentage share of this department in each province to the total capital expenditure of the province. You'll see there that really what those percentages, they look a bit like silly percentages, but basically what they reflect is the fact that in the majority of provinces, and just about all the provinces, all the capital asset creation is basically done by the Public Works and Transport Department. That's just a statement of what I have already spoken to. At the end of the financial year, those are the big changes there. Western Cape, Mpumalanga, and Free State, underspending in 8 provinces, particularly Limpopo, Western Cape, and the Eastern Cape. With respect to personnel spending, there are provinces that have experienced pressure in compensation expenditure, particularly Gauteng, Limpopo, and the Eastern Cape, and there has been preliminary overspending of 195 million rand in those provinces with respect to that. Gauteng is negatively affected by the fact that during the very soon after the start of the previous financial year, a decision was taken by the province to split the department and create a separate public works department in the middle of the financial year. And so what that meant was that the new department had to establish effectively a new administration structure, and that put additional pressure on the compensation budget of that department. And so while we are measuring them together still, because it happened only in the middle of the financial year, part of that pressure is as a result of a strategic decision taken within the province. Capital expenditure is almost fully spent at 99.7%, as I've mentioned, the underspending in the Western Cape there in particular is the major contributor. Moving on then to the grant itself, which is the main focus of today's discussion, starting off with the outcomes, or rather the spending as at the end of the third quarter, or 31st of December 2009, out of an adjusted budget of 1.5 billion rand, provinces had spent 841. I think at this point it's important for me to point out to the committee the fact that this grant was adjusted upwards in 2009-10 by 350 odd million rands in order to cater for additional pressures within the property rates requirements of a number of provinces. The devolution, and the reason why it's called devolution of property rates funds grant, is because this grant is merely, for all intents and purposes, a transitional grant. The intention here is that provinces will take over the process of paying municipal property rates, which were before undertaken by the national department, and that they will in future be responsible for paying this this obligation. So this grant is effectively going to be phased into the equitable share for each province. But before that can happen, we need to establish very clearly what the payment requirements actually are, because obviously you don't want a situation where there's an unfunded mandate or where other people are overfunded or other people are underfunded or things like this. So the grant exists in transition. Now, during the 2009-10 financial year, a number of provinces indicated that there was pressure, that the bills from municipalities were higher than was accounted for in the main budget, so it was adjusted upwards. As a result of that, what happened was that the actual payments, if you look at the actual payments column there, it looks quite low for the third quarter, which is just, you know, 50-something percent, 56.6%. Part of that was because there was a big hoard of additional money that provinces would not have been in a position to spend by that time. So, you know, from that perspective, that was the picture there. The provinces' projections at that time were that three of them were projecting to underspend by a total of 45 million rand, and there were a couple of provinces that were a little bit naughty there, Free State and Western Cape, where they sent projections of over expenditure. And as the committee is well aware, we have repeatedly communicated to provinces that they cannot and they should not be submitting projections of over expenditure on a Schedule 5 grant, because this skews the picture. It's almost like presenting something that can't really be true, because either you're going to break even or you're going to underspend, because all of that money is coming from the national government. So that's why I'm being a bit tongue-in-cheek by saying, you know, Free State and Western Cape are a bit naughty in saying that they're projecting to overspend. But nonetheless, those were the numbers there on this grant. If we look at what has now happened as at the end of the financial year, 31st of March, the ultimate result is that the vast majority of provinces have underspent on the grant by a total of 309 million rand. This is significantly higher than the underspending that happened in the previous financial year, when provinces underspent by just over 202 million rand. So the under expenditure has become bigger or worse today. Particularly, as you can see, the Eastern Cape has underspent by just under 97 million. Gauteng has underspent by just under 173 million. There is under expenditure of just under 12 million in Limpopo, and 8.5 in Mpumalanga, as well as 18.5 in the Western Cape. So, by and large, you know, provinces have clearly struggled to move this money, so the money remains underspent in the majority of provinces, quite a bit of money sitting there. And as I discuss later, you will see, and as well some of the reasons I'm sure provinces will highlight in their own presentations, we are looking for this to really start improving very, very quickly. There are indications that it may, but obviously, with the exception of the revitalization grant in health, the performance of this particular grant has been quite disappointing in the last financial year. But of course, we'll get to the reasons for that just now. You can see that by the year-on-year growth, on the other hand, the province has actually spent considerably more than they did before. But particularly the additional money that was put in, that money, provinces have struggled to move, because remember, we put in 353 million, and the underspendage is 309 million. So most of that money hasn't moved that we put in the adjusted system. Just to conclude, really looking at why this has happened in provinces with respect to this grant is very, very unique in that it's just a payments grant. It's not really about delivering any particular service. It's a grant to pay municipalities for property rates that they charge the province for the properties that are in the jurisdiction of a municipality. Now, if a municipality, for whatever reason, does not have proper billing processes or is not in a position to determine what the rating on those properties is,
So what ends up happening is that either the municipality doesn't build the province, or the municipality builds the province incorrectly, and the end result of that problem is that the province is not able to move the money, because clearly you can't pay if you don't get invoiced or billed. So this is one of the unique situations with this grant that has affected provinces quite significantly. There have been a couple of situations, particularly in Gauteng, where the province simply failed to make payments to municipalities, leading to many schools in particularly in the Tswane area being switched off, because in terms of the Municipal Systems Act, a municipality can switch off water, light, etc. for non-payment of property rates. So even if a province, let's say a department in a province like education or health pays for its water and light, if the public works department in the province doesn't pay for the property rates, the municipality can switch off the water and light to education and health, etc. The law allows them to do that. So this is something that's quite an interesting anomaly, and it actually did take place in the last financial year during, I believe, the month of October, when Gauteng didn't make payments and a number of schools were switched off and the matter had to be resolved. So, as I've said there, that really the municipalities are a very important and key aspect of this whole process of devolution, because if the municipalities are not managing their properties or managing property rating properly, if they're not managing their billing systems properly, or they don't have billing systems, particularly in municipalities in rural areas of the Eastern Cape, Limpopo, etc., where the municipality, because of, you know, things in the past or whatever, doesn't have the systems in place, the billing doesn't happen, the province can't move the money. The other thing as well that impacts on spending on this grant is provinces where there are former homeland governments. Again, provinces such as the Eastern Cape, where you had the Transkei and this guy, where there's a number of former government structures and properties in those jurisdictions, which were simply not rated by the municipality. And so the difficulty there is that what happens is that the municipality is late on doing the rating, and then there's various verification processes that must be undertaken, and that also delays the ability of the provincial department to actually spend the money. So that's also quite an important aspect of it. I think overall, it's important to mention the fact that the devolution process, which we're trying to complete along with the National Department, coincided with the implementation of the Municipal Property Rates Act, which was passed by Parliament in 2003, but gave municipalities quite a number of years to actually conclude the rating of properties, including government-owned properties, for the purposes of billing for the rates. Now, at the time when the National Department established this grant, the National Department of Public Works, the Municipal Property Rates wasn't fully implemented. And so the amount, in other words, the budget baseline for the grant didn't take into account what was necessary with respect to the overall rating in terms of the property rate. So then it is necessary that in order to complete the devolution process, reasonably accurate baselines will have to be put in place going forward. And this has to be done by the National Department of Public Works. We have discussed this with the National Department. We've met with them on numerous occasions, and they've agreed that this is something that needs urgent attention. But, Chair, those effectively, I think, are the reasons for the financial outcomes, as well as the numbers. Then I think I will stop there with respect to this part of the session. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, sir. I will now allow for questions for clarity on the presentation. May I also indicate, provinces, you are at liberty to also ask questions. And I think it is important to avoid embarrassment, because in the past, you will find that provinces will present figures that are different from what Treasury is presenting. And Treasury figures are sourced from provincial reports. So in a situation where there is that kind of thing,
I think it is opportune time for you to raise it at this particular level. Honorable Masuzu and Honorable Khalil and Honorable Liz, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to find out in a particular municipality. I know my constituency falls in an area, rural area, so to speak. It's a small town and a number of villages where there are schools, clinics, etc. Does the rate cover, you know, the urban and the outlying areas like your villages and so on, or it just covers towns, literally, as we know them? Thank you. Because remember, the demarcation of municipalities now have changed, and they cover villages as well. And in villages, there are schools, there are clinics, and so on. And those schools are electrified and other things. I just want to find out whether it's covered in this allocation. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Colin.
Thank you, Chair. Just really a comment, not really clarification. That is on the table, the Evolution of Property Rates Fund as of the 31st of December 2009. We can't connect with the projected outcome of $349 million. In fact, we are showing a figure much closer to the adjusted budget, and I'll cover that in my presentation, and therefore a much smaller over figure, and in effect, that in a sense corrects when you look at the next table. So I just mentioned that. So we're not sure where that particular one comes from.
Mr. Chairman, I'm interested in the property rates grant. If I can just get some clarity on that, on some issues there. The question of the additional $353.2 million, which was added to the grant, versus the $309 million, which is the underspend. And I appreciate that in a presentation such as this, the detail is difficult to give, but I don't think there's a direct correlation there, as is suggested. The province which is most underspent is Gauteng. So one can't say that the additional money given to Northern Cape or Northwest is the money that's been underspent. I don't know if I'm making myself clear. It's not simply the money, the additional money that was given, which was underspent. There's some other factors coming into it. And it concerns me somewhat that some provinces are 100%, when I think that we will probably all agree that the application of the Property Rates Act is a difficult one and not an easy one to estimate in advance as has been suggested. So, you know, are we really saying that we got it 100% correct when we estimated what the grant should be for some of these provinces? I find that incredibly good, and if it is so, then we need to congratulate who did that exercise. The question of the baseline, I mean, valuation, I'm not sure how National Treasury intend to establish these baselines, given that valuations of properties are done at municipal level, and the rates rendered, which is applied to those valuations, is determined at municipal level. And so it must be a huge exercise then to establish that baseline, because one has to then get all those figures in for every single municipality. So I'm curious as to how that is to be done if it hasn't already been done. The issue of termination of services on properties such as schools if the rates aren't paid. We have a case in Ladysmith where the high school and the junior school were cut off, and we got an interdict to have the services reconnected because the law does not allow the death of one personal entity to be transferred to another. And so there is a court question there, and it is not permissible to cut off the services to to someone who, on, because someone else hasn't paid their liability. So I know that the Act tried to make this possible, but there is now a court precedent which says this is not right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Gregory. Quick response.
Thank you, Chair. With respect to, first of all, the question from Honourable Masito about the what should and should not be, what is covered in terms of the localities and municipalities and the different kinds of municipalities. Obviously, this goes to the impact, or rather the benefit, to the different kinds of municipalities, because if a municipality has within its jurisdiction, in other words, it's the way that it is demarcated, a significant urban or peri-urban component, then our municipality can expect to earn a significant amount from property rates, whereas a municipality which is demarcated in such a way that it is predominantly or totally rural, that municipality is unlikely to earn much revenue, and in some cases no revenue at all, because it depends, first of all, there's two things. First of all, it depends on the land situation in that municipality. For instance, in KwaZulu-Natal and certain parts of the Eastern Cape, you will find that the land is not actually owned by the municipality, it's owned by some sort of traditional authority trust or something like that. So it's very, very difficult. And on the other hand, in terms of the Property Rates Act as well as the regulations related to it, there is also a sort of a rebate system that is related to the basically the ability of people to pay. In other words, if people are poor, then below a certain level, they effectively don't pay property rent. We're speaking about residential properties. So, yes, I think the demarcation issue is an important issue, but I think the bottom line is that the rating is it's residential, then there's business, and then, of course, there's state properties. And if a municipality does not have a significant number of either of those or a very small mix, then obviously that impacts on them negatively, whereas another municipality that can be that is something that is obviously, just a simple matter of how it's demarcated, and the demarcation, decisions are taken both by the relevant local government, MEC, together with the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, and implemented by the MDB, the Municipal Demarcation Board. With respect to the projected outcome for Western Cape, the question asked by Honourable Carlisle, the numbers for the finances for the for grants, all grants, including this one, are first of all received from the Chief Financial Officer of the relevant provincial department. We check the spending numbers as well as the transfer figures and various other things such as the budget numbers very thoroughly as the National Treasury to verify them for correctness, particularly through the government basic accounting system where you can see exactly what money has moved in and out of a department. So from the spending side and the budget side, the figures are accurate. The projections are projections that are given by the Chief Financial Officer of that department. And you would appreciate that because they are projections, they cannot be checked. It is what the Chief Financial Officer says at that point in time, I expect to spend. So that particular projected outcome of 349.3 million rand came from the Western Cape Department of Public Works, Roads and Transport. Questions? Okay. On the questions from Honourable Mr. Randi, first of all, whether or not the under expenditures related to the additional funds given in the adjusted estimate. The reason we say that is because the greatest amount that was given for the property rates, vastly the greatest amount that was given to any
province in the adjusted estimates was in fact given to Gauteng province, and Gauteng province is the major contributor to that under expenditure. In other words, you know, they are the ones out of 209 odd million rand. They couldn't. They've got 273 left over. So in the big numbers, there are some correlations there. I mean, it's not perfect for sure, but I think the point is that the point I was trying to make was that had we not given the additional money, you would have seen the numbers closer to the budget, and that's effectively what I was saying. And there is, in the bigger numbers, particularly Gauteng, some correlation there. Is it possible for provinces to spend 100%? I think there's two issues there. The one is that, of course, the 100% expenditure that's listed by certain provinces is 100% of the grant amount. Whether or not the province had to take money from its own funds in order to make extra payments could not be gauged from this report. You'd have to gauge that from a Section 40 report for the program under that particular sub-program or program level that's given in terms of a PFMA required report. So this particular report won't actually tell you that that is how much the province actually spent on property rates. What this report tells you is how much the department spent out of the grant for property rates. And so it's very possible, and in some provinces very easy, for 100% expenditure to be reached. On the other aspect of how easy it would be or how difficult it would be to actually estimate and actually get to a number that determines an accurate budget, I don't think it is possible to get to 100% number for the overall baseline budget necessarily, but you can have a reasonable estimate of what it should cost, because remember we're talking about state properties. We're not talking about all the properties in the municipality. We're just talking about state properties. And there's a lot of municipalities, in fact, the majority of municipalities, you know, may have a very small number of state properties, and they may be something like, you know, a few schools or something like that, or perhaps a clinic. Municipalities which have a large number or big properties in terms of state properties will be probably in a minority where they'll either be the big centers where you'll have actual provincial department buildings like head offices, etc., or district offices, or peri-urban areas where there's a significantly large number of schools, clinics, and things like that. So we believe that it should not be impossible. If it was impossible, certainly the Municipal Property Rates Act would not require municipalities to do a rating on all their properties, which it does. So they have to complete a rating process and have a valuation role for all their properties. So we believe that a reasonable estimate should be available with respect to that. I agree that part of it, the issue around the cutting off of services, one of the things in the example I used with respect to Gauteng, I suppose in that case, and this was the argument of Tswana Municipality, the argument of Tswana Municipality was that the province is one entity, and that the province didn't pay property rent, you know. And since Tswana Municipality doesn't have a significant number of, in fact, it doesn't have any Gauteng Public Works Department offices of any significance. The only significant provincial properties would be the school. So I suppose that the courts make a ruling with respect to that, of course, that is perfectly acceptable and we will move in that particular direction. But in that case, the example that I used, the argument of the municipality was that the province is one entity. Public Works Department pays property rates on behalf of the school in any case. So even if it was a case of saying, well, you know, you're switching off the school and not this department, the fact is the Public Works Department in any case is supposed to pay all the property rates. Chair, I believe I've covered all the questions.
Thank you. Last question so that we move on. Just be brief to the point. Honorable Dibier, you'll be the last. Thanks.
Chairperson, no, thank you. While Mr. Shishi from Treasury was explaining the figures, officials there from Western Cape were shaking their heads. We had the same situation on Tuesday with the Departments of Health and Provinces, and tracing discrepancy when it comes to figures. And we said then, we're saying it today, again, before you come to this meeting in future, check your figures with Treasury, Treasury check your figures with the provinces, that we get the correct information at these meetings. There's many ways of communication in this country. They've got no excuse. Thank you.
I think we need to flag, because we don't have time to discuss the issue of the extension of property rates to rural areas. I know there was a bill. I'm not sure whether it was signed into law. But we need to investigate this as a committee and find out exactly what the situation is. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Just as a reminder, I wish to remind provinces, you appeared before this committee late last year, on the same grant. And almost all provinces then had serious problems in terms of spending their monies. There were a lot of expenditure coming from provinces, as would be seen here. And in that particular meeting, all sorts of similar reasons were given. Capacity at local municipality level, wrong bills, failure by municipalities to prove that certain buildings that they build belong to public works, and all sorts of manners of reasons that were provided. There was an interesting suggestion by Free State Province at that particular time as to the system, as to how they were doing it. All other provinces felt that that is the way to go. Now, as you are about to make your presentation, we are going to be interested into how you are doing it and why you are underspending, bearing in mind that almost all municipalities in the country are claiming to be owed millions of monies by provincial departments. Now, while they are being owed monies for property rate and other related services, we have a situation where provinces cannot spend. They are sitting with those millions. And at the municipality level, it has got an impact, serious impact on service delivery. So that's where we are interested. Each province, for presentation, you will have a maximum of 15 minutes to present. So we would want you to zoom straight into what are you doing, why are you, what are the challenges. I'm just reminding you of some of the things that you said last year as provinces. I have gone through some of the reports. I can see that you are still saying, giving us same reasons as advanced last year. So in a situation where you give same reasons as you gave last year, we expect to know what progress it the province achieved in rectifying the situation. If the problem is still capacity at municipality level, what is it that you are doing as a provincial department to assist that particular municipality so that they can have access to this particular fund and use these monies for their services? Because we're talking of the services, if we are talking of water, electricity, those are the services that they are also paying somebody else for whilst you are sitting with their money. So, I just wanted to remind you of those discussions of last year's meeting. Without waste of time, each province will have 15 minutes to present. I'll start with Western Cape.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, we don't... This area is under reasonable control, as you correctly say. One must differentiate between the rates which are covered here and the other municipal expenses and charges which are a separate issue. Let me just say for the ease of mind of Honourable Member Joubert that if he turns to the last of the Treasury tables, that's the critical one. And in fact, we're in total agreement on that. For instance, the interim one, there's a figure there that does make sense, but it doesn't affect the important table. So there's no difference. So I hope you'll be comfortable with that. If we could just have the first slide. My slide come down into that, okay.
Is it from there? The slide.
Yeah, there's a slant.
Answer to the chair, we're covering the four areas that he asked us to cover. As I say, this area is generally well under control. We don't have a major problem in regard to it. We took over from 2008. Previously was a function of the National Department, and that gives you some idea of the number of accounts, 1,881 accounts of 184 million. Because it was quite early on, there was then a shortfall in the initial grant of 37 million rand, and you'll see that also on the Treasury sheet. I think this is the important sheet for people to pick up on. You can see the initial grant there of 147 million in 08-09, and then you can see that leads to a shortfall of 37,563. You can see how National Treasury then paid us that shortfall in 9-10, and then we estimated the shortfall for 9-10 itself to get to 268,831. The actual amount paid out, and this again ties in exactly with the Treasury figures, or within a few hundred grand, the 250 million paid out. There's 6.5 million accrued as at that point, because obviously your municipal accounts don't come in exactly on the day that you want them to come in, and there is 12 million of anticipated, and that ties in exactly. If you look, Honourable Hubert looks on the last schedule of the Treasury thing, you'll see it ties in exactly. 6.5 plus 12 million ties in with the Treasury figure of 18.578. So we're in our third year of implementation. This just gives you some idea, Chair, of the capacity that we have. We have our manager here, and that gives you some idea of the functions that he performs, including the high-level inquiries, etc., etc. We have one verifier on contract, and that again gives you an idea of the work that he performs. And then we have four administrative officials, of which one is permanent and three are contract, and they process the monthly payments and follow up with the municipalities and so on and so forth. Much as Treasury said, the kind of problems that you have that lead to an apparent underspending, but I make the point that it's a temporary underspending, is late submission of accounts, particularly from the Cape Town, which is our biggest, obviously, our biggest debtor, if you like, due to the process of splitting rates and utility accounts. This is a major problem, and I'm sure that many of my provincial colleagues also face this, is this confusion between rates, electricity, water, etc., etc. And that then runs the risk, obviously, and sometimes the reality of late payments. And we put a lot of work into this because National Treasury was quite brutal when you had a shortfall. If you didn't claim it in time, you lost it. So we made sure that we did claim it in time, and they did give it to us. 2009-10 accounts received after financial closure, I mentioned that. And delays in finalization of transfer for new sites, particularly in the education and health field. So we have to work quite hard on that. And then finally, we were asked to report, end of slide show, what happened there? I don't know what happened to the slide, but if you turn to the last page, which says 2009-10 reporting, we were asked to report on that, and you will see that we submit on a monthly basis. It doesn't matter, it's just the last one. We submit on a monthly basis. You'll see there two of the months our marked status remain unchanged. That means there was nothing new to report. The figures were exactly as before, and we will continue to report on that basis. And I think I did that within 15 minutes.
That was a record 5 minutes presentation. Thank you very much, Khan. I hope members who have got questions, you just write your questions and then at the question time you'll raise those questions. I'll now take Limpopo.
Thank you very much.
You, let me see, do you have handouts? And whoever is going to control your slides should come here.
Yeah, please come.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, colleagues and heads of the department. You have invited us here. I think last year when we came here, we were reporting nil in terms of collection, and we brought in some more changes, and then I think if we are called here for not billing or not being billed by municipalities, it is going to be, I guess, it's going to be the last time here, because we are in a turnaround strategy that we are not talking too much to the municipalities, so we are in touch with them. We are talking to the mayors, the CEOs, the CFOs, and also ESCO of the province is assisting a lot. And initially, we were not building the schools. Municipality were not building the schools. Now we are doing that. It's unfortunate that we met late last year and meeting again this year. We haven't as yet completed our task, but really we are doing something very great and which is going to assist us in this process. Our CFO, Mr. Gekana, will give the presentation, but we have some additional information we are going to present, which were not there in our previous or on the document was given to you. So we'll be giving you more than what has been handed over to the select committee. So I'll hand over to Mr. Gekana, our CFO, to make the presentation. Mr. Gekana. Thank you.
Unfortunately, there are no copies prepared for this purpose, so we'll rely and I will request members to concentrate on the slide. Over to you, sir. You've got 13 minutes.
Thank you, Chairperson. As my MEC has indicated, we made some changes on the initial presentation, and we did rearrange our presentation. And then this is how it goes. This is the outline of the presentation. We have introduction, data trends on allocation, and then our turnaround strategy and the conclusion. Here we're just giving a brief description of our project, and we didn't have any changes with what we was submitted earlier on. Basically, we had about a list of 3,557 properties that were devolved to the province in 2008-09 with an initial allocation of 12 million, and in the following financial year, 2009-2010, we had an increase on this allocation to 13.7 million. So we have had at least an experience of 2 years managing the payments for rates and taxes for this property that has been devolved. Now, if we want to give the prevailing scenario in our province, where it differs a bit with the concluding remarks on the document from National Treasury is that in Limpopo, we had an export decision number 59 of 2001 that was passed, which compelled user departments, various user departments, to be responsible for the payment of rent, water, electricity consumption, as well as rates. And this export decision implied that while a department is occupying a building on its own, then it was responsible for all these expenditures. However, while the building is accommodating more than one department, then the Department of Public Works would be responsible to pay for the rates and taxes. Therefore, since 2001, Department of Public Works did not pay for rates to municipalities on land parcels where respective departments used to reside. That's how it differs a bit with the concluding remarks on the document from Treasury. Now, that scenario that I indicated implies that there are provincial land parcels whose rates to municipalities are paid by National Department of Public Works. There are those provincial land parcels whose rates to municipalities are paid by various provincial departments, and then there are those land parcels that are paid by the Department of Public Works. Now, when we look at the trends in the allocation, we are realizing that the current financial year 2010-2011 marks the third year for the province to manage the payments for the rates and taxes for devolved properties. The last period, the previous two financial year, does not yet provide the department the confidence to determine the patterns and trends in the funds allocation and expenditure. However, the collection of data in the coming years will afford the department with a means to determine trends that will assist with projections for allocations and expenditure. Now, to give the figures to the story, this is what we had. In 2008-09, we were initially allocated 12.294 million. Our expenditure for that year on devolved property rates was 6.853, which gave us a variance of 5.4 million, which is an underspending. In the following financial year, as indicated earlier, we were allocated 13.776 million. We spent, our figures differ a bit with what Treasury has got. Our figures on bus at the end of the financial year currently are indicating 8.151 million. What we should note there is that the variance of 208.9 of 5.4 was rolled over by Treasury to be added to the 13 million, and that brings us to a total of 19.271 million. That is tying up with what Treasury has got. In terms of the percentages, this is how the department, the province fed with regards to the payment on rates and taxes in the province. First year it was 55.74 million. Second year it's 59.17. However, it differs with this one of Treasury because here we were looking at the initial allocation before the rollovers. So when we put the rollovers into the 13 million, then our payment is less than 59.17 million. Now, on analyzing our expenditure trends, this is what we have to say as a department, that we initially reported nil expenditure during the previous appearance in October to this committee, as the MEC has indicated. However, our final figures for the year shows an improvement over the remaining period that is from that October up to the end of the financial year, as compared to 2809. And as a department, we have, for us to arrive at that, we put efforts in place for improvement, which were both administrative and political in nature. And then on the political level, as our MEC has indicated, the MEC engaged with councillors and mayors, including fellow MPs, on various occasions, like, for instance, the Premier Mayors Forum, the Intergovernmental Forum, and also we had some ad hoc meetings with the councillors and the local municipality politicians. Administratively, officials within the department interacted with municipalities of officials on a provincial level, that is, with departments and treasury getting involved. We also interacted at district levels, where individual municipalities were met by our district officials to reconcile accounts. And then this the figures that we have shown indicate that this change in approach resulted in our expenditure increasing from 54% to 59% over the two-year period. The 4% improvement was an encouragement to the department, and it has led to the department intensifying an aggressive turnaround strategy by approaching the process, the whole devolution of race process as a project, to be implemented using project management principles to address, mainly to address the identified challenges. And when we look at the project, Chairperson, this is what we are having as an approach, that we have we are stating our problem statement as follows, that there were challenges that we have experienced since the inception while attempting to pay municipalities for devolution of rates and taxes. And we there were identification of devolved properties per region, per municipalities that were giving us problems. The connection of bills from municipalities was not as ideal as we had anticipated. And we also experienced problems with municipalities not excluding consumptions and also arrears from the bills that they were giving to us for this devolved rates and taxes. Well, the other was the interface between the bus system and the IE work system, where we were experiencing problems. And some errors on the IE works system. Then we also looking at the lack of capacity in our real estate, that is the property unit that is managing the payment of rates and taxes. And also in some instances we would get bills from municipalities that had opening balances for previous for the years before this function was devolved to provinces. And in some instances, the municipality, at the time when they decide at the time when they come around to billing us, you find that they are already including the interest as late payment while there was no bills previously. And within the department has indicated that we're having a lack of capacity within this unit, also impacted on the monitoring capacity, that we could not really monitor as adequately as we thought. And this, what was indicated, those challenges are presenting the following risks. That we have properties without evaluations. In some instances, properties sharing the same ERF numbers in different plots. We have wrong rebates and tariffs in the system. In some instances, there will be double payments because there are double bills. And we sometimes receive wrong bills from municipalities. That is the bills that we get for divorce properties. We find that they are not for those properties that are on the list. And then in some instances, we have those properties that do not have account numbers in the municipalities. And then lastly, we have some properties that were affected by the cross-boundaries challenges that we had in 2506. Now, okay. Well, this we indicated the project scope where we're trying to come up with a solution as a turnaround strategy. And this just lists what as a department we intend to do to address the situation. And then let me just zoom in here to indicate that what we are doing administratively is that we are having a monthly department meetings with the municipalities at district level. We also have initiatives where we are holding quarterly meetings with SALGA, and then we think that this exercise is going to yield more results, because that EXCO Decision 59 of 2001 that I indicated earlier has been rescinded, and it's that action will remove a lot of confusion that was prevailing within the municipalities, where they didn't know who to bill and who not to bill. We think that when we get all the bills, chances are that we'll get the bills that will contain all the properties that are on the default list. And that's how I conclude, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I will now call upon Eastern Cape.
Chair, thank you very much. Those who might have forgotten my name is Penny Machudina from the Eastern Cape. I'm a municipal roads and public works. Chair, I'll just quickly do an overview of our presentation, and CFO Mr. Yoste will then get into detail without reading the slides. He will talk to the slides. Chair, thank you very much, and to honourable members. I've just observed, Chair, with serious concern that this committee of yours is not gender balanced, and I wonder why, and I'm taking that issue very serious that I don't see women in this particular committee. To my colleagues who are MCs from various provinces, thank you very much. I'm a gender activist, and I have to make the point that I see gender equality in each and every committee. Chair, come again. You don't have it in the meeting. This is a formal meeting, and I'm raising a point of concern as a member. Nobody don't harass me. You don't have check me.
Honorable Liz, can we be in order?
You just cannot do that to me.
Can you proceed, MEC?
Because my credit and your post club by me with DA. Chairperson, thank you. As the president has correctly reflected that most of the municipalities are rural, and therefore the issue of rent and taxes is really affecting us. Chair, without lamenting what was done in the province to ensure that we take further steps from where we left off in the previous year, where apparently we hold permanent coordinations from, where the issue of property rates and taxes is a standard item on the agenda. Each and every department gets what is due from municipalities, but what is more clear is that the national departments are the ones who are really not assisting us in paying the rates and taxes. They are the ones that are really owing. To such an extent that when they have not paid, then the municipalities are billing those who are nearer to them, meaning provincial departments. But we are going to hold, we are engaging the national department on the issue because we need to resolve this thing in one way or another. Chair, the issue of capacity in municipalities remains a challenge. However, what was done in the province or to ensure that the provincial treasury provides us additional allocation to administer the rates and taxes on how we implement them. We have therefore formed the municipal finance unit that is held on in ensuring that our quest to rise to the challenge posed by the payment of rates and taxes within the context of IGR is dealt accordingly. Chair, we have been successful really to ensure that we are billed by municipalities. Then there's a progress when CFO is presenting, you'll see. But out of the treasury report, you have seen that we have moved from worse to better. That is why we feel that if in the initial transfer of the devolution of property rates and taxes to provinces were given the implementation and administrative fund, that was going to be better. However, we are assisting municipalities, Chairperson. In the light of the above, the department has submitted to the provincial treasury to roll over the unspent funds. The department is confident that it is best possible position to confirm the rates and the taxes operational cost baseline going forward as a result of this intervention. All of the municipalities are feeling us correctly now, but we are following up with those who are really struggling to do that. Chen, millions really are owed to municipalities, and when they roll over, they don't come to us as provincial department of public works as if we have not used our grant, whereas it is not only our problem. That is why we also went to an extent of discussing a project called Rates and Taxes Project that has started on the 2nd of May, visiting all municipalities. We think if the national department can as well complicate that to ensure that we clear all the balance. Thank you very much, Chair. I'll hand over to our CFO.
Thank you, MEC. As the MEC has asked, I will just touch on the critical issues. I think the question, Chair, is really, with the significance of the rollovers on the ground of the last 2 years, what are we doing about it? So we'd like to just focus on those areas. The issues of the factors that have contributed to underspending are there, and they're very much the same as everybody. Oh, sorry. Okay. Is that better, Chair? Yeah. The factors contributing to underspending, very much the same as the other provinces have pointed out, the impact on the conditional grants I've talked to quickly and the actions taken to address the underspending. Again, the list of the devolved properties has been an issue in terms of properties that we should or should not be paying rates and taxes on, and that baseline issue as raised by the Treasury remains a concern, and the rates and taxes project we're undertaking is actually to specifically address the baseline at various municipalities. But what we are finding is, despite the underspending, we expect that we would start picking up on spending. This graph just tries to indicate that to the committee, Chair. The MTF allocations, as you can see, 120, 134, 147. And if you look at the trend in spending currently, we started in year one at 60 million. It's almost doubled at 113 million. And just based on that spending trend, we're looking at spending 227 million. And that's just based on spending and not on the amount that are outstanding currently. The intention of that is to show that we are catching up in terms of spending on the grant, and that no funds that are unspent are actually a saving, as you can see. This just explains what we pay rates and taxes on and what we don't pay rates and taxes on. This slide then tries to just point out exactly what has happened. If we look at the line by line, 0809, 100, 119638, and if you look across there, you can see that at the end of that year, we had 59.6 million as a rollover request, which was approved by the provincial treasury. We spent 60 million in that year. In this year, 0910, we received 134 million as the original amount. We received an admin allocation of 13 million, a grant 46, and then 16. That adds up to the 59.6 because we rollover received through the adjustments budget. We are requesting a 96.7 million rand rollover request this year, and we'll demonstrate why we say that those funds will in fact be spent within the current financial year. Now, what we've done, and I think with most of the rates and taxes, it's very clear that the billing as it comes through reflects different financial years. So, in the current financial year, there are quite a number of bills that we're finalizing in respect of 08-09, and I think in the 10-11 year, we'll have a similar situation where we'd have to settle rates for the 3 years before that.
This slide then just tries to show to the committee that for 809, we had 119 million as the available grant. We spent 60 million, but during the 19 years part of our project intervention, we found the further 19.9 million that needed to be spent. So the unspent amount would then drop to 39.7 if we're looking at it on a year-on-year basis. So that drops down to about 33.2%. Similarly, in the current year, the grant has increased with those rollover amounts from 134 to 210 million. We've spent 93 million. Currently, the unspent amount is probably in the region of 116 if we're looking at it on a year-on-year basis. So this particular graph just tries to indicate that spending is happening and that it is, in fact, picking up and that we would, in fact, be able to spend the funds as allocated to the unit. Factors here, again, similar to what the other provinces reported, financial capacity issues. And then also another matter is that as part of the spending, most municipalities might have indicated to us that we owe them much more than we actually owe them. And this relates to the opening balance issues, and it's been taken quite a while to actually resolve this matter with it. But we have, in fact, established exactly what the figures are that relate to the property rates and taxes before the province became responsible for that. So I won't read these matters. So basically, prior to June, with the National Public Works, according to our project, we've picked up old municipalities 12.9%. In that, there's a figure of about 252,000 rand in interest. And these are the amounts from the various municipalities. And this we will make available to the National Public Works as well. Now, these particular municipalities for 2008-09 have not invoiced the department, and we estimate that those municipalities for that year, which is 809, is 6.2 million rand. If we look at the outstanding amounts, this is amounts we have continued to pay municipalities as we go along, but obviously there are certain outstanding amounts in dispute and question and so forth. That figure stands at about 5.88 million. So if okay, thank you, Chair. Then I'll slow down a bit. I think basically. Okay, Chair. Thanks for that. Then we'll slow down a bit. And basically, just to put it into context, then what we're trying to say is that although you might see a significant underspending, the underspending will be offset by amounts that we're beginning to find out is owing in respect to previous financial years as well. And we also have a situation where municipalities have not been in a position to invoice us, and we've established those amounts as amounts due from the National Public Works that we've indicated as well. So what we're trying to prove is that the amount of the rollover that we'll sit at the end of this financial, the 96.7 million, will be spent because of all of these amounts that are currently there and owing and in the process of being verified through two projects that we're busy with in the department. So in respect of 0809, then, we have 5.8 million that is still outstanding, and it relates to these particular municipalities. And the uninvoiced municipalities, which I just mentioned on the previous slide, 6.2, so the total amount in respect of 0809, which is in the process of being fully verified and audited, is 12 million rand. Then, if we were to apply the 12 million to the 0809 financial year, the figure that I explained on the previous slide where we have 39.7 million, if you look at 0809 grant, and we run across, we received 119.6 million, we spent 60 million in that specific financial year. In the 09-10 financial year, we spent a further 19.9 million, which at that point shows a figure of 39.7 outstanding. And at that point, it was 33.2%. But we're saying through the processes that we followed now, we found out that there's a further 12 million that can actually, that relates to that specific year. So the 39.7 will reduce by a further 12 million to 27.6 million. So the 33% underspend, which we've now adjusted here, drops further to 23% underspend in respect of the 08-09 financial year. So I think what the point we're making is that we will always be liable for rates and taxes for specific financial years, and when we start comparing those specific the financial years on the basis of how the invoices are coming through and being verified and paid, we're trying to demonstrate that maybe the baseline for 08-09 wasn't that far off. So we're trying to sort of get to a point where we're very clear on what the baseline figures are. So in respect of 9-10, if we carry on now,
In respect to the year of 9-10, we're finding out that there's still a potential of 32 million rand plus a further 10 million for operational costs. So basically what we're saying now is that there's 24 million that we're aware of that is owing to the municipalities, and an estimate of municipalities based on the previous year, the 6 million that we said those specific municipalities haven't invoiced us. There's a further 7 million there. So that's how we get to the 32 million. So what we're saying then in terms of that 32 million, if we go to the line now that deals with 09-10 grant rollover, the 210-334 under the adjusted column, we spent in that specific year for that year, 9-10 year, we spent 93.6 million. The amount underspent is 116,650. So that reflects a 55% underspent on that grant for 9-10. But if we apply the 32 million, which we picked up through our projects, and the further 10 million, we will see that that figure now reduces, the 116,650 will reduce to 74 million, which says that the grant for that year is 35.5% underspent, and not 55.5%. And those amounts will flow in the current financial year. So essentially, just in summary then, what we're saying is that the impact of the rollover on the percentage spend, you can see for 8 or 9, our spend will be down to 50.1%. And the current, without the rollover, it's 50.1%. For 19, it's 84.7%, as you've seen in the figures. But with rollover, it will drop to 54% in 19. So all we've done is we've applied what we know in terms of invoices that are outstanding for the various financial years to the amounts that were underspent in those specific years, and said that, look, the actual underspend, if adjusted by those amounts, will drop. Now, what interventions, Chair, have we done, as you rightly asked? MEC has touched us, the Race and Taxes project. We've appointed two service providers who started assisting. Once it became clear that the Provincial Treasury allowed us permission to apply some of the grant or the rollover, some of the rollover figures and the additional allocation they've given us to operational costs, we were able to get assistance, and that particular project is actually going very well. And to sustain the impact of that project, we've set up a municipal finance unit to maintain the processes going forward. So this just gives you an overview of exactly what that project aims to do. It assists the municipalities in the preparation of invoices, valuation certificates, reconciling the items, because what we have found is that even though we might agree on a list of properties that we have to pay on, the municipality doesn't in fact reconcile their records so that we move forward from the same basis. What we've also, this slide also just shows that in terms of the project, when we started the project, there were about 3,900 properties that were registered and we should have paid taxes. The project has now delivered that there's been a 25% increase in properties that we should be paying rates and taxes on. So that will also impact on the spending in the current year. There's an increase in terms of the number of properties that are rateable. There's an increase in the rates that were originally estimated in terms of MTF for property rates and taxes as well. Benefits to the municipalities, obviously there's now a clear process of reconciliation between their debtors, their account balances, and our account balances, and we can move forward from that perspective and be clear on exactly what we owe everyone. Underspending, just in conclusion then, Chair, cash and accrual, as we tried, we try to point out, different financial years, we're paying in respect to previous financial years, and as these matters become a problem. We also said that the spending trend in the beginning is that if we just continue on that basis, we will overspend the current year's allocation if we don't receive a... excuse me. If we don't receive a rollover the 96.7 million. And I think the cash flow has been resolved because we have, in fact, received these tranches on a quarterly basis. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before I allow for questions, I would like you members to note your questions. I would like to call KZN. Okay. KZN, then questions will follow later. I have released Honorable Khalil because the CFO is left behind. He is, as we all know, that there is this Transnet strike imminent for Monday, so that there's a meeting with tax people and stuff like so. It is on those basis I released him, but the CFO is left behind
to answer to the questions, if there are any, for Western Cape. KZN, over to you, madam.
Just at the outset, I must say that as KZN Department of Public Works, we have not underspent. In fact, we are here with a begging bowl to say that we would appreciate an increase, or we desperately require an increase in our conditional grant. And as we go through the slides, you will see what I'm talking about. The outline of the presentation is there in front of you. We covered. I will skip the legislative mandate and then go on through, as you will see, what is said out there. Our department commenced payment of municipal property rates from April 2008, and our allocation for the province was 210.846 million. We had a shortfall of 36 million, and that became the first charge for the 2009 and 10 financial year. Conditions resulting in this shortfall, 20 of the 61 municipalities in our province had already implemented the Municipal Property Rates Act by 2008-2009. More municipalities than had been anticipated were then billing the Department for Property Rates, and the allocated funds for the payment of these rates was based on the historical data, that is what national departments had already been paying prior to the devolution of the function. And it was therefore assumed that all municipalities were charging rates, which was not the case. There were a whole range of them that came onto the database prior to the devolution of the function. And also didn't take into account the vesting process and the unresolved disputes between the National Department of Public Works and certain municipalities on the issue of rates. Many municipalities were rating for the first time, and the National Department had previously not paid rates to them, resulting in funds not being allocated for this purpose when the matter was transferred to us. The conditional grant 2009-2010, our budget allocation was 237.282 million, and this comprised the 236.24 million plus the rollover of 1.118 million from 2008-2009. We received invoices and made payments to the amount of 237.204 million. And the invoices that we received actually totaled 458.510 million. So our shortfall was 221 million. The unpaid invoices had to be held over for the new financial year, which is 2010-2011, due to the fact that there were insufficient funds. I must make the point here, Chairperson, that we didn't sit back and leave this unchecked. We had actually made application for adjusted estimates to give us an increased amount, but it appeared that there was miscommunication between the National Department of Public Works and Treasury, and we didn't get that additional amount. So the first charge for 2010-11 is 221 million, which leaves us with a balance of 38.891 million of our 259.891 million allocation for 2010-11. Our department has been confronted, as National Treasury, the official, pointed out, we've been confronted with service delivery charges because municipalities have been threatening to cut services on account of the non-payment of property rates. And there's also the issue of interest that has been charged on overdue rates. Who's liable for this? We actually feel it should be the National Department of Public Works, because this was a consequence of insufficient funding and a historic debt. Due to the fact that the province assumed responsibility of the payment from the 1st of April 2008, we feel that all outstanding debt prior to this date is the responsibility of the National Department, and we are actually awaiting an indication from National Department about the payment of the outstanding debt. We are concerned about the accumulation of interest on this debt as well. We have requested additional funding of 221 million from National Department and the Treasury. And to date, as I say, we have had no response. The explanation we've been given is that there was some miscommunication. The issue of new properties remains a challenge to us because the current model does not provide for this. And there are new properties that are coming into the billing system and who are being rated for the first time as municipalities get their systems in order. Challenges? Many of the provincial properties are carrying arrears from the rates prior to the devolution of the property rates payment function to provinces. There were provinces where the ownership was unclear, and this had to be established between the municipalities, provincial and national custodians, and as I said, some municipalities disconnect services if the rates are not paid or fully paid. I must point out that we have used the conditional grant to its fullest, so it is not an issue of us being errant. It's just that we do not have additional funds. Rate increases pose a challenge to us because property rates in a number of municipalities have increased by between 300% to 1,000% and more. And I've included some examples here, Umgeni, Mzunduzi, Richmond, etc. The Ingonyama Trust land, these are properties that have large tracts with numerous facilities on the parent property to which the municipality attaches the market value. However, the department is only responsible for the payment of property rates on state domestic facilities, and the market value does not value facilities individually, but rather the entire property as a whole. So obviously it's an area of dispute. Our monitoring capacity, when the function for the payment of property rates devolved to the province, we didn't actually get staffing to follow the function. And this has left a gap in how the conditional grant was to be implemented, as it was a new function. We have had no funding provided for additional capacity to implement this function, and in our department, our asset management staff are currently actually performing the function. Reporting. In the 2009-10 financial year, there was a prescribed reporting format that was introduced where provinces submitted reports on a monthly basis, and we submit reports monthly to report on progress. While payments are happening at the four regional offices, we also have central monitoring from our head office to ensure that there is no overspending or underspending. The 2010-11 budget, there is an insufficient allocation of funds. The Department of Public Works in the province requires additional funding. With the first charge being paid, the remaining balance for 2010-11 will be only 38.891 million, which is nowhere close to the budget required. Furthermore, a number of municipalities have not been apportioned rate payments due to insufficient funding. However, all but two of the municipalities in KwaZulu-Natal are now billing our department. Without additional funding, we will not be able to fulfill our mandatory obligations, and there is a serious danger of the cutting of services by the municipalities as well as the provincial government suffering reputational risks. This is just a breakdown of the municipalities that have implemented the MPRA. In 2007, there were 8. In 2008, there were 12. 2009, 29. And the last two were implemented in the 2010-2011 financial year. This is a breakdown of our allocation of the conditional grant versus the estimated shortfall. Chairperson, as you will see, is quite horrifying. Because our shortfall, if you look at it, under the totals column, will take us into 1.937.286 billion. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Let me, by outset, apologize to you and colleagues that I'm recovering from a serious flu attack, and I will try my best. Whenever there's anything I left out, I believe that the CFO and the HUD this year can just add to it within the allowed time. I think, Chair, what we need to do, we are not going all into all the details, but I think my colleague is making serious points, and you will see at the end why we are raising a particular point in the beginning.
We are not going to go into the introduction because he just talks about the history and where we come from. But I think the point that we need to make is the issue about the budget allocation. The point that we are driving is that this devolution of the function was done on the basis of the 2005-06 payment that we have done as a department as captured by NESMA. And we thought that when that decision was made, it had an impact because later on there was other properties already and only the function was devolved to the province in 2008-09. And I think we are making the point to give you a sense that later on what can be the problems and what was the impact of that particular decision. We move over to the spending. Our dollar allocation for 2009-10 was 26,998. And you can see there was an adjustment budget allocation of 10.3 million. In 2008-09, already there was a shortfall of 4.7 million, which the province had to bear to make sure and make up for that shortfall. So we are making that point because that had an impact on our spending and the money that was being given to the province going forward. As you can see, Chair, that the only outstanding amount that we haven't paid to conclude the spending of the total budget was at 220,000, which was an amount that we have transferred to a municipality called Tembelisi Municipality. But the money was being returned. And that matter has been investigated because we are not sure if there are problems with the bank account of the municipality or what is the problem. That was the only outstanding amount that, as we indicated, we have spent 99% of our allocation. And that 222 had an impact on the full spending of the money. But as I indicated, it's already money that was paid over but was being returned by the bank. If you look at the projections, I think my colleague from KZN made that point also very clearly. And I think that is the general trend of our point that this is how it looks like in our budget allocations, the dollar allocations for the outer years. But if you look at the projections that were already projected, it's very clear that we will have a challenge in this situation. And I think the first point that I was making in terms of how, when the service was devolved, on what basis it was then decided, already to us in our view created a problem, which might be a concurrent problem if we don't address it as a national department. Now, I think that's the point that we are trying to not say in chair that all the problems will be resolved by that, but the point is at least if we can start at the level point where we can then move from there, it might resolve some of our problems. And we're also indicating then here that unless we address that particular matter, we will have a problem. I think other colleagues raised the same issue. The function was devolved without any capacity. And we are raising the same issue that the department had to then appoint three senior positions in the department to deal with that particular function, which is also an additional cost which was not being in that budget that we have received as a promise. And we are making that point. The reporting structures is the reporting structures that has been given to us through our spending report that we have submitted to the National Public Works. And we have the same problem of challenges with municipalities in terms of capacity to report and to provide us with the relevant information. But as we have agreed in our province, there is a forum, which is, I think, a forum that is all over in all provinces, where the premier interacts with all municipalities, where we as a department have a standing seat as to deal with some of these matters. We have also agreed as a department that we are going to present to cabinet very soon a memo dealing with two matters. The one is to make sure that we get the support of cabinet, that each and every government department occupying a building make sure that it pays its rates and taxes and be responsible for that, so that we are not running into the problem that we pick up as a general problem. At this point in time, we doesn't have that type of serious problem. But we want to concretize it and make sure that nobody can run away from that responsibility. One of the challenges that we are facing in our province is there are properties where the land still belongs to the municipality. and the buildings belong to government. We have that situation in our province. With that is own challenge, because once these properties is vested, the arrears and the recurrent costs will be for us, and it might have a serious impact on what we are presenting today. It might look good, but it might put us in a serious problem into the future, and it's a matter that we need to resolve. As I said, client departments, we have made that point that they must take their responsibility so that we don't run into those serious problems. As I'm aware that the political head of the province has made it clear that we have to pay municipality. No excuses. When we have to pay, you pay because of the problems that are there. We have the challenge of the properties that was transferred from the Northwest province. We know the cross-border matter and the incorporation of certain areas into the Northern Cape. There is a serious challenge. It's also a challenge that will add to the one rate of municipalities, which might create problems into the future. And we are saying that due to this under-allocation, municipalities are charging interest. I think the same point was made by my colleague from KZN and other colleagues. The interest charges. We have just looked at our figures and say that national increase at 6%, while municipalities is charging us between 12 and 15%. Those are some of the serious challenges that we will have in the future. Chair, we haven't come here to present our report on the basis that there's no problems. But we are saying within our ability, we could have dealt with this matter. But the challenges that we are raising, some of the matters that we say, Chair, might, when we come to the next report, create problems for us. And I think this is a challenge between us and the National Department. We are not here to blame the National Department, but I think we're here to make a point that certain things we must correct as a province, but certain things we think the National Department must correct. Thanks, Chair. If there's maybe anything we need allow time, if the HUD or CFO want to raise it or clarify, they can do so, Chair, if you allow. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you very much, MEC. Honorable Sokoni, you are welcome.
Thank you.
Would appreciate if you could come here, Honorable Sokoni. The last one will be Gauteng. Gauteng, are you ready?
Conference of the ANC in Gauteng that is going on. Now, when there is this quietness, it reminds me that they would be doing something when there's nothing, when the chairperson is waiting for other things to happen.
What is it?
Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Maguna Flete. I've been delegated to present on behalf of Department of Infrastructure Development Gauteng. As well, let me first start by conveying the apologies from Ms. Mazibuko and the acting head of department, who are having other commitments, as I believe that has been communicated to you as well, Chairperson. I've noted the number of comments made earlier on as well, Chairperson, that we are worse off in terms of an expenditure with regard to the grant on rates and taxes. I'm just going to go through this presentation. And then as well, Chairperson, there was some other information that was included in the presentation, but noting that it's not that relevant, it will be included in terms of the presentation. In terms of conditional grants, basically we have on record about 8,279 properties with the municipalities, And our projections are basically we're informed by that. And initially, when projections for 9-10 were made, we based on that, and without taking into consideration things like the backlog payments and so on, that was the figure that was required. Now, these are the key challenges that we're facing, whereby we have a number of municipalities whereby invoices are not submitted, and in some instances, we go up to the end of the financial year without those invoices. Some properties continually belong in different areas, and that could pose a big challenge. And then as well, the records of the municipalities do not assist the process, as in many instances you have to, in order to verify the records, you have to deal with a number of departments within the municipalities, including the tax planners and so on. So it makes the process very tedious and labor-intensive. We do have capacity challenges, given that historically when the function was evolved, there was no structural adjustment that was made at the time to take care of the new responsibility and as well the required financial resources to support that that function. As well, the challenges around the evaluation roles which are not complete, and the lack of interface between the main software that is being used with BAS, which is basically a key instrument in terms of carrying out those responsibilities. And to add to the chapter, then the other issues that link to that, a comment was made around cutting of services at facilities like your schools. The reality is, we can't just afford to pay without having clear records. And in some instances, we pay because the money goes into this big pool, this account in the municipality, and for them to ascertain that you're paid, takes time. We had a similar situation like in Pretoria, the situation in Ekurhuleni, where a regional office of the department was cut off. And then when follow-ups were made, it was discovered that no, there was no money outstanding. But the system that they have does not make it easy for them to access that information. So those are some of the critical challenges. That is basically the part of the historical data and the present that shows the budget from 08-09 and 84 million that was spent and ending up with a difference of 31 million and coming to the end of December 2009, 231 million was spent. Now, the projections of municipality were as listed, and if you look at municipality, the projections that was made is made on the data that we've got. And but if we are not built, it creates other challenges. Like for instance, if you look at the total projection of 401, which was arrived at in terms of the adjustment. If we don't receive all the bills, and on top of that, the process of making this payment is labor intensive as it is, where verification requires that we sit with each and every municipality, it makes it a very tedious process.
What does the zero represent there?
Let me take you back to this one slide. I just want to take you to. Basically, what it means, supposing it means that in that area, there are no properties that we're aware of. However, as time goes on, those things do keep on creeping up as we do the taking of property. And sometimes that's covered by money policies, that sometimes we do discover them. And the process of improving that asset register has helped us to come to a point where we are in terms of, if you look at these numbers and compare to the original figures that were set by National, you'd realize that there's a vast difference, because now the data that we have got is improved. Now, there are a number of mechanisms which were put in place in view of the challenges, and they are not as yet necessarily bearing fruit to the level where we'd expect it to be. We have regular interactions with the municipalities, and we're trying to enhance and strengthen that relationship. There's a record of municipalities that at the time, at that period, where a rigorous engagement was made. And then there's more training that is happening in terms of staff to ensure that despite the fact that we have limitation in terms of numbers of people that we have, we can as well achieve some or optimize in terms of the numbers that we have. Service level agreements have been developed to regulate and enhance this relationship, because to have a situation whereby when the municipality is not happy, they just go and switch off, it's not in the interest of the people that we serve. As much as the, at the end of the day, is the department that is responsible, but we have a major and a bigger responsibility to the community. So basically, payment process is tedious, like I indicated earlier on, because a proper verification has to be done. In some instances, we find that one invoice covers a number of properties. So it needs to be unpacked and as well verified against the register that we have, so that everyone could be in the position to account for what was paid. There's a joint payment allocations and reconciliation process that we do with the municipalities. Like those amounts that they cannot verify on their systems, it means we have to go to the municipalities and sit with them and unpack those figures to ensure that there's a clear understanding. But it takes time. There's as well, in the event that the properties that are established, there's no clarity about where they belong. There's a committee, provincial state land and disposal committee, whereby both the national department, the municipality, the province, they all sit and they look deep into the matter and ensure that it is clarified. Within the province, we have, as well through the Provincial Department of Finance, there's a debt committee whereby we have the DIG, the municipalities, and Department of Finance. We sit, we look into this matter, and when there's no payment made, it is followed up as that structure. And that is the structure that is very critical for resolving problems. Chairperson, basically, that's the end of what I have for you.
Okay, that was the last. I'll be opening for questions.
I just wanted to understand the last bullet.
Okay.
Debt committee meetings with Department of Finance, with municipalities.
In a turn. Can you clarify? The member wants clarity on that last statement.
Yes.
What does it mean? Debt committee meetings with Department of Finance, with municipality and other.
Basically, is a committee that is happening under the leadership of Department of Finance, whereby we have. Yes. But given that there has been a number of names have changed in the province. Like now we public works, the Department of Infrastructure Development, and I hope I'm not missing anything.
Honourable members, I will now take questions. Remember, you will have one round to ask questions as a member. You raise all your questions to all six provinces if you have questions to all six of them. Honorable Makubela, you will be the first. Honorable Dubier will follow. Honorable Liz. Honorable Masosiwe. In that order. Treasury, whilst we are raising questions, in fact, I would want to hear your comments at the later stage on this whole issue of structural adjustments insofar as staff. I think three provinces are only after 2 years now complaining about staff and so on. Others are not complaining. But I would want to hear your views on that, including your views on the issues raised by both Northern Cape and KZN, insofar as the shortfall is concerned. Honorable Makwe.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll start with Gauteng. Gauteng, when do you expect that your internal control measures will bear fruit? And how effective is your internal control? Two, what plan do you have in place in order to have the invoices sent to your office timely as required? I'll finish with half days. Northern Cape. You are saying in page, it's not page here, but in the last page, the second last page, you are saying only capacitated municipalities submit monthly statement reflecting receipts. Do you want to tell me that the uncapacitated municipalities do not send any statement at all? And then what plan do you have in place in order to overcome the challenges mentioned in paragraph number 7, bullet 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'm going to say that end. What plan do you have in place in order to deal with the challenges mentioned in page 14 and 15, and how effective is your internal control? Those are three questions, okay, let's end. I'm coming to, what is it? Eastern Cape. I see that the management, the financial management remains a challenge in contributing to understanding. What plan do you have in place in order to overcome this challenge? And will you also tell us how effective is your internal control in order to overcome problems mentioned in third bullet in page 2 and 7? Lepompo. What causes the underspending? Because I heard that you're having a problem of underspending. You are saying that the lack of capacity. And what are you going to do in order to overcome this lack of capacity? You talked about the double payment sometimes happening. Was the money overpaid recovered or not? Let's go. On page 6, you describe the measures the remedies you will take in order to overcome underspending. But the problem is that additional hours work to avert the potential late payment. If you talk about additional hours, do you want to tell us that you are going to pay overtime? That's because of this. Thanks.
Is that all, sir?
That's all.
No problem. Thank you very much. Honorable Dupin.
Chair, thank you. Again, the issue of figures and Treasury provinces must give us clarity. When we look at KZN's allocation on page 5, slide 10, in the KZN document, the amount, and I must be corrected if I'm wrong, is 237,282. But on slide 7 of National Treasury, it's 237,382. There's a difference, or we must be clarified what is on. Eastern Cape, on page, the space doesn't have a number, but it's the page before page 7. When it comes to payments, the province says it's 113,611. When you go to Treasury, it's 113,495. Gauteng, that is slide 6. Gauteng tells us that money spent is 231,286. Treasury tells us it's 228,134. And then again, when you look at the differences, in the last column. Treasury says it's 172,965. They must give us clarity. Why is there differences in this figure? Because when you do bookkeeping, when you do accounting, you work with exactly there's an accountant. All of us see where the financial background, they can tell you. Please, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The previous questions have covered a lot of what I wanted to ask specifically about provinces, but there would appear to me to be two types of province here. There's the province which is saying we've spent it all and more, and there's the province who haven't spent it. And the Eastern Cape have got rollovers, and we understand that. But even after the rollovers, they're only at a 54% spend. And yet then KZN come along and say they're 200 million overspent because of an unfunded mandate. Now, my question really is to National Treasury. When these grants were set up, presumably a whole lot of homework was done in terms of an estimate of what was required based on what the public works were already paying. If that was the case, how then is there such a huge discrepancy, particularly in my own province, which is 221 million, it would appear? And then what provision was made for the staffing function? I'm surprised that Western Cape has said nothing about these problems. I mean, are they funding their own unfunded mandate? And perhaps they'll answer that. So, I think it's more general, Mr. Chair, rather than specific, and I'll just leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Yes, Chairperson, for me, maybe, in fact, I know that I'm not representing the committee as a whole. This is just my view, that we've come a long way on this portfolio, and I know what was happening in provinces previously. And there is a progress, Chairperson. I must say that we're moving forward, and the challenges, though, are huge. For example, the capacities of municipalities play a big role in really fast-tracking spending on this portfolio, and therefore it's an area that we need to look at seriously. I'm glad that they are liaisons between provinces and local municipalities. The other angle, Chairperson, is because this is valuable information for us as representatives in our own constituencies to pick up on the issues that are being raised, to check in our own respective municipalities what is it that they are doing to quicken payments, because it's revenue due to them, you know. And as I sit here, I know what to do when I come out of this meeting insofar as really trying to check from my constituency what is it that they are doing in the light of these reports that are coming up. For instance, I have we have in this report listed outstanding amounts from my area. I would want to find out from them what is it that they are doing in order to make sure that they claim this amount. I'm looking at this, Chairperson, in that light. Of course, the other, in hindsight, Chairperson, I would say that we as a committee made an omission of not inviting National Public Works here in this meeting. It would have assisted a great deal, especially insofar as properties belonging to National Public Works that are sitting there in the municipality, because in this hearing we are not covering that at all. And Chair, I hope that we'll then, before completing this report, perhaps cover that as well. And because I know that in my constituency as well, there are buildings belonging to National Department of Public Works which are not covered here at all. And they are huge buildings. I know that the psychiatric hospital buildings that are there in Fort Beaufort are not covered here at all. Chairperson, thank you very much. For me, really, I'm sitting here at least having been armed with this valuable information. I think we are making progress. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Masuziwe. National Department of Public Works was invited. I'm not sure if they are here, but we have invited them. I didn't see them on the register. It means they are not here, but we'll follow up with that. Just a comment, Limpopo, Honorable MEC, I think you're right. There's some slight improvement as to compared to the situation we were in last October, and we appreciate that, and we just hope that your turnaround strategy and all the support that you're getting from the province will yield more fruits. I just want to check, of the total deals that you have, of all those properties that you have, how many do you handle or pay every month, per month, that average figure? And obviously, we will hold you, MEC, to statements you made, commitments you made in terms of your next appearance. So we have recorded that. But I want the Treasury to comment on the situation, the EXCO resolution, but I think it has answered itself in the sense that the decision has since been rescinded of EXCO, so it's fine on that one. It's province. And while on Limpopo, in terms of your capacity, monitoring capacity, I just want to check progress this far as compared to last October, and in terms of risk control, have you put some measures into place to avoid all those risks that you have identified in your report? And Eastern Cape. Here, I just want to ascertain, MEC, as to whether, in terms of the problem identified where you are built, even for national department buildings, if there's been some interaction between your department and your national counterpart on that particular issue, and the issue of capacity building. There's a project that you have put into place that is to address the backlog situation.
But what was lacking, I don't know, it's whether because the CFO was arriving, the how part of it, how will that project assist in that particular regard? If you could just brief us on that. And I assume that as a department, you know the buildings that belong to yourself and its number, like all other provinces. Now the question would be, now that you are aware of the buildings that you're supposed to take care of, there are those municipalities that are still like not aware. What is the department doing to assist those municipalities? Because one of the commitments made last year was that where provinces are aware of information, that will be shared with those particular municipalities. And they will even be assisted to prepare the bill so that we fast-track the process of releasing funds from departments to municipalities. Now, you still, this year again, you will be rolling over something like 96 million, which is a cause for serious concern. While at the same time, one appreciate the effort that you are making, but I would like to hear your comments on that. KZN. Okay, I've since requested Treasury to comment on this issue of capacity. I think you will comment. I just want to check progress made insofar as where there are disputes in terms of ownership of land in KZN. What is it that the department is doing and how far is progress? Because I think it was raised again last year at the same point and there were some commitments. The 2 points I had for Northern Cape, I think Treasury will comment on those. How dare you? Okay, in terms of your slides, under Ifuleni, you had, in terms of your projections, you had zero. But earlier in your presentation, you have conducted a verification exercise in terms of the properties that belongs to the department or that the department should take care of. And for Ifuleni, you have verified 528. But in your response to my question as to what zero represents, you said where this zero appears is where there are no bills coming. But you do have 528. So essentially there, my assumption is that even though you are aware that you've got properties in those areas, as long as those municipalities don't bill you, you don't worry to take them. And the commitment made by Gauteng last year was that you are going to, like any other province, assist those municipalities, approach them, make them aware of your own properties, check if they are occupied, even assist them to build yourself properly so that you are able to pay. I mean, you are the worst in terms of all these things. And we know in Gauteng, that's where problems are. Services are stopped, all those things. Protests are there and all those things. So I know that the people who are supposed to be giving answers to this question are not here, Gauteng, but by agreeing to come here, you agreed on the understanding that you'll be able to answer questions. So you will have to answer some of these questions. But if you are unable to, you'll have to indicate so that we can see if we can call back the MEC and them to come and explain to us. Out of 8,279 properties you have in Gauteng, how many or how much of those are you able to attend to its bills every month, per month? I just need an indication of that so that we can test your progress. And there is this difference in figures but I think Honorable DPR has read it. Olga, in Treasury, I think you'll have to respond. There's no difference in figures. You see, there's a huge difference there of about 3 million or so. Same there's the slightest differences again in the Western Cape in terms, although they are just very slightest in the Western Cape. But I think we need to be having figures that correspond to one another, more so because they are sourced from the same report. Those will be my questions to, in addition to those raised. Honorable members, I'm told there is tea outside. I would request that we have a 10-minute break before we come and take answers, and immediately upon return, we'll start with KZN. So we'll break. It's 9:15 now. Let's resume at 12:25.
Why are you Solan,
no.
Can you report to this table? Before I allow for the responses from provinces, I will allow National Treasury to comment. And there's a clarity that Honorable Sokoni wants, particularly from Honorable Lewis, in terms of the question you
raised.
Okay. Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Chair.
The chair from KZN, you'll be allowed to leave at
or you are released. The MEC is staying with it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. First of all, I think if I can just dispense with the issue of the numbers and the difference in the spending numbers. This, starting with KZN, on the KZN issue, as Honorable De Beer pointed it out, there's actually a slight difference in the actual budget number. Now, our number, there's nothing I can say, Chair, except to say that our budget number is the correct number, because we are the ones that made the allocation. So I think I can't, you know, there's nothing more I can say besides that. With respect to the spending with respect to the spending numbers by the other provinces, there are two reasons why a spending number would be different. The one reason is rounding. When sometimes people round off a figure when they put it in a report, and then when you add all sorts of things up, it gradually becomes slightly different. So the last couple of digits become different. That's the one reason, and that's possible, although I would need more time to actually sort of go through the figures to determine whether that is the case. But that's one possibility. The other possibility, Chair, the way I want to describe this is in terms of this document. This document I'm holding in my hand is what is called a Section 32 publication. But Section 32 of the Public Finance Management Act, the PFMA, requires the National Treasury to publish documents submitted by departments on their expenditure. There's Section 40 of the PFMA, which says that departments, every department, whether it's at the provincial or national level, must submit spending numbers within, I believe it's 15 days of the end of a month. At the end of a quarter, Section 32 of the PFMA says that the spending numbers must be published. This document I'm holding also contains the actual reports sent by provinces. And if I were to show them to the CFOs from the departments, they would recognize them because they come from their department.
Mm-hmm.
The data in this publication is the data in our presentation sheet. So, either a province sent figures that are incorrect, which is an act of some sort of malicious compliance, or the figures are correct and I can't speak to the other figures.
That's fair.
With respect to the question asked particularly by Honorable Lisa Ramsey, that there was two parts of it and Chair also touched on it around the capacity. On the capacity issue, perhaps I can answer the question like this. Before this grant came into being, this function was being performed by the National Department of Public Works, as we all know, which means that the establishment of the grant wasn't actually by itself a National Treasury decision. It was a decision of the National Department, because the National Department would have already had the funds in its vault. And all it did was merely take funds which it already had in its vault and just ring-fence it as a conditional grant. So from that perspective, from a funding perspective, National Treasury wouldn't have been, you know, wouldn't have been part of that step for the simple process of establishing the amount within the provincial sphere of the fiscal framework. And the numbers were based, as the number of provinces have pointed out, on the 2006 period in terms of what the property valuations were and things, which means that they wouldn't have taken full account of the implementation of the Municipal Property Rates Act, and they wouldn't have taken account other things that have been raised by provincial colleagues around properties that were previously not rated or properties that for whatever reason belonged to one sphere and had to be moved to another sphere and so on and so forth. So from a capacity perspective, first of all, if the capacity requirements that are being raised by provinces are in fact true, in other words, if it is indeed the case that provinces have capacity requirements that are not being met by budget, then again, it must mean one of two things. Bearing in mind that this function used to sit with the national department, the question must be asked, how did the national department do the verification on properties it was paying when the function belonged to them? Either they did do the verification, in which case there is some kind of administrative resource sitting in the national department that should move or should be made available to provinces, or the national department wasn't doing the verification and was simply paying, and that function was not being performed, in which case then, again, we need to establish, and this would be something the national department would have to play the biggest part in, but we would, of course, assist, what exactly are those requirements for the provinces so that we don't have unfunded mandates. Broadly, Chair, National Treasury agrees that a number of provinces are significantly underfunded with respect to this cost. We agree with that. We believe that that is, in fact, the case. I'm not sure, in terms of the reference by KZN around the misunderstanding on the communication about the requirements for the adjusted estimates. All I can say is there really wasn't any miscommunication with National Treasury. Perhaps they're referring to the provincial treasury, I do not know. But from National Treasury's perspective, in June, we sent out an official communication to provincial treasury saying to them, in the absence of saying to them, we have engaged with the National Department of Public Works, and we have asked them, because we did, to update the budget for this grant because we believe that it is not properly funded. In the absence of those updates, we are asking provinces to indicate to us, for the current financial year, what is your requirement with respect to this grant? That's where the $353.2 million came from. It came, we gave that money to provinces because we had asked them to indicate that. Now, with respect to KZN, we received nothing. Now, whether that was because there was miscommunication between the provincial department and the provincial treasurer, between the provincial department and the national department of the treasury I simply cannot say, but I could categorically state, and this was something that MEC Cornier, MEC for Finance from KZN raised to the Budget Council, and I recall Honourable De Beer was at that meeting in October, the Budget Council chaired by the Minister, to say that something happened and the information did not come through to the National Treasury, because it didn't come through at all. And so that's what happened with respect to that. But we have been saying that we believe that this is underfunded. We've been engaging with the National Department of Public Works. As recently as 2 months ago, we asked them to give us updated numbers for this grant going forward. In 2009, the National Department wanted to devolve or complete the devolution process. National Treasury refused to complete that devolution process on the basis that we believe the grant is underfunded. So, Chair, from our perspective, we need and we believe that this grant must be updated because provinces are not properly funded. We agree. We can go on record on that one. Finally, on the issue with respect to, what was asked about, what was the estimate? You know, as I said earlier, the estimates, as far as we were told, were estimates based on the 2006-07 financial year. And I'm not aware that anything's been done since then. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I will now take answers from provinces. Although, Mr. Sishi, I'm not impressed. You see, in this country, we've got a serious problem of communication. Because if indeed Treasury did not receive anything from KZN, the question would be, what did you do to get that information? Because one would expect that Treasury would phone or follow up with KZN to say, we are still waiting for you, not just to be happy and say, well, they are not responding, we are allocating in terms of what we have. But it's fine. Maybe those processes did take place, I would assume. Let's hear KZN.
Thanks, Chairperson. I want to just commence with responding to the question from the colleague. I think was referring to slides 14 and 15. And I think what the colleague wants to know is, what are we doing about verifying the ownership of properties between the three layers of government?
Mm.
What we've done is we've set up a forum in KZN comprising the municipality, the largest municipality, to whom we are in arrears for rates, national, provincial treasury, the National Department of Public Works, the KZN Department of Public Works, and the Office of the MEC. And that forum is actually has been working quite well, where we've been able to identify and clarify not just the issue of the ownership of properties, but also the issue of the amount of rates that are being charged to us. And we've actually been able to get amounts reduced and things like that. So we have this forum that has been set in place. There are certain properties where the ownership has to transfer from another province to us, and in that regard, we are working together with COCTA to actually achieve that, and I think we have achieved resolution. We've been able to vet quite a number of properties into our register. On the issue of the discrepancy in the amount, which was raised, I must commend the colleague for picking up this 100,000, and I must say that, yes, we humbly agree that the National Treasury figure is right, but it was definitely a typing error, because if you look at our slide 10, where we've got two figures reflected, when you add them up, they do add up to 237.382 million. We are very, very happy to say that it is 0.382 million, because we can't afford to lose one rand on this rates grant. So thank you for that. In terms of the participation of the National Department of Public Works at this committee meeting, I would fully support you, Chairperson. I think as a key stakeholder here, it would have been important to have had the contribution, and it would have certainly clarified several issues, which in their absence, you know, we don't really have feedback on. In terms of this issue of the communication, I must point out that, you know, we came equipped and armed. The information is power. So we actually have copies of the correspondence that we did send as soon as it became clear that our conditional grant was in danger of being exhausted. And we followed procedures. So just to outline the various means of communication, I raised it myself at MINMEC on two occasions when we did meet, I think my colleague here will recall, to say that we were not allocated when the adjusted estimates were being arrived upon, we actually didn't receive an increased grant, although Housing did, and the American staff undertook to find out what had gone wrong, because we had submitted, my head of department had submitted all documents. We also did it via our provincial treasury, and then we realized that there was a possibility of us not getting the adjusted amount. Our MEC for finance, then did go and raise it in the budget committee meeting as well to say that this was a problem. On the 23rd of, well, we've got the dates, but certainly we had raised this. I must say I regret that the National Department is not here, Public Works, because on the 23rd of November, we had four main tables, communication to them, outlining the fact that we required an adjusted amount. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Cape.
Thank you very much, Chair. On the first question, to say, having noted capacity, lack of capacity in municipalities, what is that we have done? On our slide, page 23, is responding exactly to that, where we said we have two units, a rates and tax project team, that have started working in municipalities as to deal with all the backlogs. As it was correctly stated by Treasury, that Eastern Cape still have properties that were vested under former Transkei, former Republic of South Africa, former Sky, still have those. So we are dealing with those backlogs. Hence, we have this rate and tax project that is with the backlog, as well as the municipal finance unit, which is going to ensure that we sustain the assistance that we're giving to the municipalities of billing us correctly, because we are prepared to pay them. And we've already started that to assist these municipalities. And what they are really doing is to ensure that the verification that is done, that the after page 23, the three pages that after 23, they go to a, to specific as to say what are the duties of the project on recent cases as well as municipal finance unit. So it is there in the presentation that is given to honorable members. Chair, the properties that belong to provincial public works, we know our properties, Chair. But as I'm saying that all question of asset register is a moving target. And given the backlogs, we have to let a very dedicated team to deal with those. And that has assisted us to verify new properties that we're not aware of. So we are updating our asset register daily. But the challenge is that initially, when the rates and taxes were paid by National was stopped paying without verifying. They went to an extent of paying for properties that are used by individuals through the leases. They were just paying as long as government property, and municipalities took that advantage of sending everything. But now, till now, we're refusing to pay. We say we must sit down and verify who's using this property. We cannot just pay government property, whereas others have contracts with you on residents and taxes. Even some of the properties that are used by them as municipalities, as long as it's tagged as government property, they just bill us. So that is why we have this thing to verify it first before we can pay. We immediately upon receiving wrong invoices, we identify those that belong to the National Department of Public Works and send them accordingly. But I think National Public Works is very slow in addressing the backlog that they have. That is why I said on my presentation, I'm looking forward to meet with National Department of Public Works as well as National Treasury to deal with these speeding challenges so that we can have a clear way forward.
I think, MSC, you've covered most of it. On the issue of the 96.7 million rollover, as we indicated, we are at a very advanced stage of establishing that grant will in fact be spent in terms of outstanding amounts coming back from when the project started. I think we're in a very strong position now to say that the spending will now start settling down in terms of the next couple of years. Effectively, the project has been in progress for about 18 months, so we will now start seeing the rewards. And I don't expect that in the next financial year you'll have this kind of levels of underspending and rollover requests. This will probably be the last cycle. Based on the fact that the rates and taxes project, as the MEC has pointed out, is functioning and it is providing support to municipalities, and it is identifying municipalities that are not able to bill us, and we're assisting them in that area. The municipal finance unit within the Department of Roads and Public Works will maintain that momentum and provide that service to the municipalities and ensure that they are able to bill us on time going into the future. I think some of the colleagues have indicated earlier, payment of the rates and taxes is a very, very labor-intensive exercise, and it takes a lot of time to actually do that. And to pay within 30 days of invoice, because I think the invoices will start coming in September of this financial year, September, October, these invoices will start coming in, and they need to be verified and checked. But as I say, going into the future, once the asset base has been established and firmed up, and we're agreeable with the municipality that those assets we are liable for rates and taxes on, the payment processes will speed up. So going forward, I really say to the committee, don't be alarmed by the magnitude of the rollover. It is due and payable to the municipalities, and we are in the process of dealing with it. Thank you.
Limpopo?
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we concur with you. And also,
Honorable Masozi. Oh, thank you very much. I think it's some need to correct you. When you said it is not our money, it is the money for municipalities. I think we don't have much problem except administration. Politically speaking, it's very easy. You call the municipality, dealers will pay you. In fact, in the provinces such as ours, the rural ones, most of them are cash strapped, and then they don't even know where to get the money. And if we can only make the papers right, then there will be no need of calling us here again. So that's why we stand by our commitment that probably, not probably, it seems to us it is the last time we are going to call us on this stage where we are going to be grilled. You are not building, you are not doing all these things. We are not also happy about this. When we left our provinces, they said, oh, this one they don't spend, you see. my CFO will answer the specifics as asked by Honorable Makwele and the Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. There were quite a few questions, mainly around a lack of capacity, and as some of my colleagues have indicated, this is the trend throughout almost all the provinces. For us, in order to address the issue of lack of capacity, is that the department is in the process of restructuring the whole organizational structure. In fact, it is almost concluded, and the new structure is at DPSA. And coming in specifically to the unit of property management, we have aligned our structure with the GIAMA recommendations. And as we all know, that GIAMA is also affected with, in fact, the issue of the rates and taxes are also affected in line with GIAMA. So our structure has recommendations to increase capacity for us to address this capacity issues. And coming to the issue of double payment, what I mentioned in the presentation is that the double payment is not the actual event, but is a potential risk given the challenges that we had, that if we don't do certain things, there is a possibility that we may end up with a double payments where municipalities bill us double. However, our process of verification is presently picking that up, and our ability to completely eliminate this risk will come with the restructured organogram. There is a question with regard to our understanding. What we tried to indicate earlier on in the presentation is that there are various reasons for our understanding. First of all, what we picked up is that we have a list of the divorced properties amounting to 3,557 properties. And when we looked at these properties, we picked out that National Department of Public Works had previously been paying for about 859 properties, implying that 2,698 properties were not paid initially. There were no records. And in fact, this is our focus of our turnaround strategy, that we need to clear up all these 2,698. And that accounts a lot for the understanding. And I also mentioned that we had this expert decision 59 of 2001 that was creating confusion to municipalities because they couldn't really figure out which properties were supposed to be paid by provincial public works, national public works, and individual departments in the province. However, that one has already been rescinded, and we are working out the implementation with treasure, provincial treasure. The challenge here, Chairperson, is that provincial budgets have already been allocated, and now it's an issue of treasury whether they're going to suspend those budgets, give it to public works, or the budgets will be suspended and then given to all municipalities that are owed. There was a question with regard to the frequency of the department receiving the bills on a monthly basis. What we picked up, and I think my colleague from Eastern Cape has also alluded to this, is that in the first quarter of our financial year as a province, in fact, in the first two quarters, we usually don't receive a monthly bill from municipalities, because our first quarter is their last quarter and they are busy finalizing their books. In the second quarter, they are preparing their financial statements. And what we did when we inquired with Treasury was that the unit of municipal financing Treasury was always explaining to us that the focus in municipalities is on closing the books and making preparing financial statements. We usually start getting our bills in the first quarter. The arrangement that we did with various municipalities is that these rates and taxes are usually fixed amounts, and we know how much we're going to be paying anyway for the 12 months. So any time when they are ready to start billing us in the third quarter, our arrangement is that they put all the bills for the 12 months in a statement, and then we simply make payments for the whole 12 months, because we know they're not going to change. The other question from the chairperson regarding our capacity for monitoring is related to what I mentioned earlier on, that we are intending to increase our capacity with the restructuring process. And that also will be able to address the risk that we have mentioned with our turnaround strategy. That is really dependent to a large extent on a new structure that we are going to put in place. And earlier on, Chairperson, when I was making a presentation, I alluded to the fact that our figures are different from the figures that were mentioned by Treasury. And what I picked up is that, yes, we humbly concede that the figures of Treasury are correct. What happened is that at the end of the financial year, on the 31st, there were some payments that were lying in commitments, and ultimately those payments were ultimately reversed. And therefore, the figures of Treasury are the correct one, and we'll be adjusting the figures that we put in the presentation. I think Chairperson,
thank you so much. Look up. Chair, thanks very much. I am responding to the two questions raised by my colleague who asked the first question. And both of those
The one is dealing with capacitated municipalities was the question. What are we doing? I think the point that we are making is the issue of those municipalities who doesn't have that state of capacity. But the way we deal with it is our relationship of corporate governance together with COCTA and finance, the unit in finance, as to assist those municipalities where there are those administrative capacities. And I think the only thing we can agree going forward is that we agree to the Jefferson statement that we need to work together as government departments in dealing with this problem and not waiting for municipalities to tell us or give us account in assisting. And I think that's what we earlier said when we want to approach cabinet. That is part of the approach that we need to suggest to cabinet so that we assist those municipalities where there's administrative capacity problems in dealing with this matter. The challenges that we are referring to in the points that we are making, partly or majority of them is also reflecting to our relationship with municipalities, but broadly on vesting of some of these properties, where we might be aware that there's a property, but there was no vesting being done. And I think early on somebody raised the issue of Kiama, which will make it a point and assist us to bring in more capacity, because there's some obligation on us through that legislation to do particular things. I'll not go back to the issue of capacity, because I don't think we must consistently put the problems in front, but how do we deal with it? And I think we have made the same plan in terms of restructuring our Ganogan. One of the focus areas is to deal with this matter, because we realize unless we deal with it now, it's going to become a bigger problem later. And that is our commitment, that I think what needs to happen is our relationship with finance department, provincial, COCTA as the provincial department, in dealing with some of these challenges that we are highlighting, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Khaltin.
Thanks, Chairperson. Regarding the question on internal controls, part of the presentation we indicated that we did, after the evolution of the mandate, we did a verification of asset register, which is a key component in terms of internal controls. And then further to that, we're saying in terms of the process itself, it's more rigorous. We don't just pay unless we verify and confirm that we do indeed own that particular property. So, and finally about that, those forums that have been established, they do as well act as part of the critical component of the control mechanism that we have. However, the level of interface between systems that we use sometimes creates weaknesses, and it creates delays as well. I'm confident that the controls that we have are reasonably okay, except that there's always room for improvement. With regard to plans on improving the inflow of invoices, it is true that we need to assist municipalities. And further to that, there's been a directive or a call by the Premier of the province that there should be more synergy between all levels of government in the province. And by putting in place a service-level agreement, we're saying our processes between the municipality and us and all the interventions that were put in place should not be just a talk, but they should be clearly defined. And there should be consistency in terms of how we deal with this, because the challenge has been we do agree that we need to do this intervention, but as time goes on, you notice that there are deviations in some instances on the things that we agree about, and of course in some instances it might be the issues of capacity or systems. However, we are saying going forward, as we strengthen our IGR environment, the service level agreement that clearly talks to the challenges in place and the intervention is one of the important things that we need to put in place. And the frequency of the meetings that deals with issues. You know, one of the challenges is that sometimes issues, you find that people prefer to massage issues.
And yes, it is always how some issues are addressed, but at the end of the day, the end product, it is to the best of everybody. So the robust engagement that the platforms will provide will take us along more towards where we want to arrive. And then on that issue, there's already a more engagement with municipalities, and it's not only around raising taxes. Is that it cuts across on all issues in terms of infrastructure development, any other thing that we deal with, we must engage more. And on issues around the different zone figures, we do concede that I think it's more of an internal communication discrepancy. We take cue from the figure that has been provided by the National Treasury. On the issue around the number of bills, Shepherd, with your permission, can we make a written submission on that to ensure that we give you a more empirical data?
Right.
And that will be
within 7 days from today.
Yes, sir. Yes, I think that was the
influenza situation, the zero and the projection, yeah. And the
as well as that one, there's a discrepancy.
Okay.
And then as well, I know that there are some flux hot issues around.
So you will give a written
submission.
Okay.
Let me check.
Western Cape.
Additional hours, the top of five policy is
put the mic on, please, sir.
On the additional hours, the staff are not paid overtime. It's voluntary overtime, and the main reason for that is that the inflow of accounts comes in with peaks and valleys. Sometimes you've got a high volume, and then other times you have a low volume, and at the end of the year you have a substantial high volume again. On the structure for capacity, the structure is only the resources that are put there is only for the payment of the invoices. Very, and those invoices are obviously linked to the asset registers, but the reconciliation of our asset registers with the property data at municipalities is done by other sections. So when a function was transferred, this was the key component that had to be established, and the cost of this is more or less just for remuneration is more or less R1,100,000 per annum. And the only point or the principle that is applicable here is that normally when you shift a function, the funds follow function, but in our case, although we said from the beginning that the funds did not follow the function except for the grant that you use for the payment of rates for the creation of capacity, no funds followed, but I'm sure we can afford the R1,000,000.
Thank you very much, our members and officials. I think there are three things that need to happen. I would request Mr. Sishi that the Treasury should you should link up with MEC from KZN and ascertain as to what might have happened that led to the situation they find themselves in. Just get the facts and communicate with us as to what actually transpired, because it would seem at this stage no one knows exactly what transpired. Two, in light of your earlier response, Mr. Sish, so far as this whole thing of capacity and what national department was doing before vis-a-vis what is now happening,
I think it is an issue that we will have to raise as we follow up with National Department of Public Works as to why they were not here. But I think it's something that we'll also have to raise with them and get the facts on that particular issue so that we, as a committee, understand what was the practice before. And we have picked up a point that in the past they were just paying without verifying, and the provinces are expected to verify and all those things, which is good, and it's what we actually encourage, and it's what actually should happen. But we will follow up with the National Department of Treasury. But to provinces, I just want to indicate, like I said earlier on, we'll keep on monitoring, and where the province begin to perform well and is spending and the issues are being addressed, as my colleague from Limpopo said, we'll stop calling you. We have done so with Free State. We did not call them because they are beginning to... They did well even last year, but there are provinces that are also showing signs of doing well, like Western Cape and Northern Cape. I'm sure we might not see these faces in the next follow-up, if there will be any. But if there is 100% spending, or you are at least at 95, 96, 97, we might not call you again. And I hope that this exercise helps a lot in making sure that we all achieve the objectives of what we want to do as government and as parliament. Honorable Sogoni, I don't know if you would want to say some closing remarks.
Chair, thank you very much. In his opening statement, the gentleman from Treasury said in most provinces the Department of Public Works is not the department.
It's a program.
But it's a program. Something, something.
Yes.
That statement has worried me. What is it that Treasury expect of a properly constituted department, and what does that statement mean or trying to say to us? We're here being MECs and HOPs from Department of Public Works, others with transport. Is that a problematic statement where the Treasury is saying configuration of departments is not uniform in the whole country? The expected way of configuring the department to be the real department that Treasury aspires is this one. What does this mean?
Thank you. I think I'll be lenient to allow that because I did call for questions after Treasury presented, but some of the aspects of your question, I don't think that Mr. C should be in position, particularly the configuration of the department. But I would allow you to expand more on that statement that you said, just to clarify that.
Thank you, Chair.
And members, by no means are not allowing for any further questions.
Very briefly, Chair, thank you. Yes, I think my statement is actually a fairly innocuous one, to simply say that, and I think perhaps the committee will understand my statement better than other colleagues who have not been here for other hearings on conditional grounds, because normally when we present on conditional grounds, we also present the state of the department. And I was merely making the point to say that the figures for public works are, you know, it's not the same as doing health or education, because in a lot of provinces it's part of transport and public works. I was making no statement whatsoever around either the validity, whether it's good or bad, the consideration, nothing at all. It was simply a very innocuous statement to say that the analysis that I would have previously been able to provide would not be possible under the circumstances of public works.
Thank you very much. Mr. Sokoni?
Now, thank you very much, Chairperson, and good afternoon, colleagues.
This is a very disciplined committee on a Friday afternoon.
Thank you. Now, on a serious note, I think I really like to appreciate the step that this committee has taken in following this matter up, because I think from the third quarter, we received statements from the National Department of Public Works. We're also intending to follow up, but it's good that the SLEC committee has followed up. That's why I had interest. Pity that I started at another meeting and then had to come here. But I think that I'm very happy with this process. But I was just going to say, and also happy when you say, with the KwaZulu-Natal issue, the SLEC committee itself, let alone what National Treasury does, you take the matter up with them, because, I mean, with that proof, maybe just for KZN to provide you with the proof that NSA was raising, so that you can yourself take this matter up. I think that it will be much, much easier than going the route of National Treasury, you know. But also to colleagues, you know, I'm having this giving up reading your statement and appropriation in front of me. I think this issue of underfunding, maybe it can be there, but there are two ways. Maybe I think that's the reason why you invited the department, in that some departments are spending well. Who may say, well, we have underfunding. I mean, some provinces are spending well, can say we have underfunding. But the reality of the matter is that not all of us are spending well. And it gives a challenge now. Parliament will be approving an appropriation bill by the end of this month. In our minds, knowing very well that on this particular program, the spending is not well. It doesn't matter whether people apply for rollovers, which will approve at a later stage. But I think that maybe it's important to also note that now there is the other act, which is called the Money Bill Procedure and Related Matters Act. It's really a little bit stringent now. It's not just going to be business as usual. If people don't spend, and then you think that you roll over and Parliament is going to approve it, just as simple as that. It really requires that all of us, we must pull up our socks. But I think that, I mean, from the commitments that I've been listening, then it's clear that there is that commitment to ensure that there is spending on these funds. Because I'm sure all of us, we know very well that we're living at difficult times where there's not sufficient money under collecting as a result of the recession and what. So it means that really Parliament can afford to have money that lie there. People can't spend, then you must also allocate to come the next year. People are entitled. People will not just, in terms of that act, people will not just be entitled to get money, because if you're not spending, the committees have the right to say, hold on. Why do we allocate this fund if we have not, if you can't spend the previous one that you have used? So it's very important that people deal with issues of capacity. Just starting with the MFMA, Section 34 is very clear, the Constitution is very clear, building Section 34 of the MFMA, for instance, says Chapter 5, Cooperative Government. The national and provincial government must, by agreement, assist municipalities. So this question of municipalities not being able to do that, and that, it can't be the responsibility of the municipality only.
We know, especially from the rural municipalities, some municipalities really, capacity is constrained. So this section and section 154 of the Constitution also states that the national, I mean, it does say the, it underscores the point, section 154, one of the Constitution, the national government and provincial government, by legislation and other measures, must support and strengthen the capacity of municipalities to manage their own article. So it's not sufficient to say, no, the municipalities don't do this. The question begs us is, what is it that we're doing to support them? That's the last thing, Chair. In terms of the division of revenue, the current division of revenue that has been passed, on the responsibilities of provincial government, and I think that's why then I think it's important that you follow, I mean, National Treasurer will do it, but I think the committee must do it themselves to support the issue of cases such as that one of KZN. Because in terms of the responsibility of this year's division of revenue, it says the responsibility of provincial departments. The last one, provincial departments are responsible for requesting any additional funding through the National Department of Public Works if they feel that the funds that they are using are insufficient. Well, it's not necessarily the case, but I think it's a way off that one of cases. Yeah. So, Chair, I think that's those matters that I wanted to raise with you. And thank you very much for the opportunity. But that's the last thing. It's very nice to Honorable MEC from the Eastern Cape, Martin Fine, because she used to sit there at that chair and ask questions. So now, if this wheel is turning around, people are asking questions. My thing is, I must just accept it that that members will ask a question.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank
you very much, Colonel Sawoni. Honorable members and officials, let me take this opportunity to thank you for honoring this appointment. And I think we have exhausted the business of the day. For those who might not know, Honorable Sogoni is the chairperson of Appropriation in the National Assembly. So we work closely together. So thank you very much for honoring today's meeting, particularly this being on Friday. That's why he's talking about discipline, because I don't think there's any other committee sitting at this time. And on that particular note, Honourable Member, Honourable Liz, you are closing.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, it's very important. Where is our lunch?
This meeting, Honourable Liz, just by the way, this committee was not allocated any budget. I fought for that. It's only now in the process of being rectified, that mistake, but that will be sorted out. There are some refreshments outside, so members can help themselves there. And on that note, this meeting is officially adjourned. I request members of this committee, members of finance and staff, to remain just for 10 minutes. Please, just for 10 minutes. There's an important finance meeting taking place.
Yeah, just at the one.